for it. So.
Cool. Well, we'll just start.
We'll leave now?
Yeah, this is a cool
imagery.
So we're in the room with the rug. I think it's a cool rug.
You may remember this rug from PDC in Los Angeles 2 years ago? Year ago?
So you guys are what, the MapPoint team? Or?
Yeah, we're the MapPoint business unit here.
Okay. And I guess that explains why we're standing on a map.
Yeah. Get the table out of the way.
No, that's okay.
People listen out here. You get a nice view.
So who are you guys? Why don't you start with you? Who are you?
Steve Lombardi. Look at you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Steve Lombardi, program manager for MapPoint Business Unit.
MapPoint Business Unit.
Yeah.
And introduce the rest of your team.
Well, they can go around.
Okay.
Interest here, go down the line.
I'm Cody Eberson. I'm a dev. I do mostly front end and shell. We call it shell work.
Cool.
My name is Harish Jayanti. I'm a dev lead on Butcherath. I'm doing the back end work.
Excellent.
My name is Tom Barclay. I'm a visiting researcher from MSR, and I'm doing all the imagery for the MapPoint Business Unit.
Wow. And so the reason I'm here is this morning Bill Gates announced something at Walt Mossberg's conference. And what was it? What did he talk about?
It was our launch of the virtual Earth. The product's not live yet, but it will be shortly. We're targeting early summer, so early July you should see it live. It'll be an MSN search service. So think of it like an extension of local search. So,
okay.
When you're thinking locally, I want to find some things in this area. I want to explore this area. I want to be able to go to a conference in Oakland next week. I've never been to Oakland before, but I know the hotel address. Let me punch that in, but then let me explore the area. Let me get some really super exciting high-res aerial imagery, which we'll show you in a minute. Is there a movie theater nearby? Where's the nearest restaurant? Should I rent a car? Is stuff going to be nearby? Am I going to be taking a lot of taxis, etc.? Just a neat way to explore an area.
Right. Now, I've been to MapPoint, and I've been to your competitors like Google Maps and MapQuest. You know, there's a bunch of mapping services, right?
Yep, sure.
So does it work like that, where I go to a web address like mappoint.msn.com and type in my address?
Yeah, it'll be one of the neat things about it is it'll be entirely... A little time out there. It'll be entirely web-based, so you won't need a rich client, but you'll get a very rich client experience thanks to the wizardry of some of these guys over here. So it's a pretty slick application. It's a nice hybrid between a web app that feels like a rich client app.
Right.
Same performance, same functionality.
So will it replace MapPoint? The MapPoint service on MSN? Or?
Yeah, maps.msn.com. Yeah, eventually. Right now they're going to run in parallel when we do launch it in July.
Okay.
And we'll take user feedback. We'll take the best of what was going on at maps.msn. Maps.msn, as you may or may not know, services 30 countries right now with street-level data. So we're not going to have that many countries covered in Virtual Earth right away. So they'll definitely be running in parallel for
okay.
a while.
So how many will Virtual Earth cover?
One on day one.
Okay.
Starting
it's
in the United
not really
States.
Virtual Earth, it's Virtual USA, right?
Big plans, though. Big plans.
But,
what do you mean USA? How about Liechtenstein?
A smaller country. That you.
But yeah, we'll ramp up quickly.
What's the reason for that? Is the photo data not available or the other kinds of
data? There's a lot of data processing that goes on. So in the Virtual Earth, when we get to the demo, anytime you want
show
some stuff.
Let's go for it.
You'll see that there's...
And you guys jump in too and tell us what's going on here.
There's a lot of data processing that goes into taking our map data, the base map data, the vector map data that we use to render these pretty vector base maps. There's all the aerial imagery stuff that Tom is doing. One of the big bangs that everyone oohed and aahed over at the conference today was the eagle eye view, the pictometry imagery, and we'll show you some screenshots of
so
that.
So why aren't you guys at the conference? Weren't you? You weren't special
Bill,
enough
Bill
to get up on stage.
No, Bill is a capable demoer.
Right.
So I think he wowed the crowd enough, and so we didn't have to go down there. We
Excellent.
Did all the work up here.
Well, he's still begging to get on Channel 9. He hasn't been on yet. So.
Oh, really?
He begged me in Business Week. I don't know if you saw it. Anyways,
let's
show me
here.
How this works.
So this is...
Hold on a second. Let me just get in position. There you go.
Hey, is that good?
That's good.
All right, so you'll notice that the first thing you can do is interact with the map with this game-style panning. So notice as I'm at the center of this compass control, I slow down, and then I speed up when I come into the
back into the center. I can also click to drag. I can double click to zoom in.
Whoa.
Zoom in and center. And yeah,
this is
notice,
a web app.
Yeah, this is a web app. There is no
ActiveX.
No ActiveX, no client side components.
Now, does this work in all browsers or just a certain browser?
It actually, we've tested it in both Firefox and IE. And the Firefox functionality, Cody could probably speak to that. We think we have most stuff working in both.
It's mostly working now. There were some transparencies we were playing with for a while, and we didn't take the time to put in the Firefox specific code or take out the IE specific code. But no, at this point we're about complete parity.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it should be cross browser pretty
very
well.
Cool.
So what are some of the cool things that you can do here? So this is the typical street map that people are used to looking at online. Keyboard equivalents for navigation, so I can zoom in, zoom out with the keyboard.
What are they, by the way?
Plus and minus. You got your arrow keys for panning around, etc.
Oh, that's cool.
And of course, you've got the compass control up here that I just
showed. Now,
what
is the compass? Where is that?
That's up here. That's what I was showing you. When you click and hold, your lens is in the way. We can do, as you move to the edges or off the edge, it'll get faster and then slow up at the center. It's a real neat way to navigate.
Now, can you drag right in the map like one of your competitors does?
Yeah, neat. Cool.
Excellent. And are you guys using the middle mouse button yet?
For scrolling.
So that works.
Scroll wheel? Yeah, check it out. I can even do it on my little mouse pad here.
So I'm using the mouse pad.
All right.
It's pretty slick.
Take that. The guy's down in Mountain View, right?
Very, very fluid navigation. But wait, there's more.
Okay.
So come on back in. So this is perhaps my favorite feature. Aerial maps are very cool, as Tom will tell you. He's been, his life is aerial maps and satellite imagery, flyover imagery.
Well, the zoom works on those too.
Oh yeah, of course it does. We wouldn't just give you zooming, cool zooming in one mode. So here's the problem with this map. It's very cool, but I can see air conditioners and rooftops, but I have no idea where I am right now because as humans, we're not used to seeing imagery this way.
Yep.
But come on in here. This is where the action is. So check this out. Hybrid view.
Okay.
Labels the image.
Where's the labels?
Oh, yeah. See that? So here I am over I-5.
Hold on a second. Let me look at it.
So you've got... That's a nice low-tech way of capturing this.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So as I move around in this hybrid map view mode, it's very cool. I can see buildings that are labeled. I'll cruise up here near the Space Needle. We're at Belltown, Pacific Science Center.
Now, how many monkeys do you have in the back room marking all this stuff?
We have an amazing amount of monkeys.
So here's the Space Needle.
Send it over my way.
Well, the MapPoint group, we do crank out a lot of products, not only these web products, but we do the CD-based products. We do the MapPoint web service, which... For all the attention that some of our competitors have been getting about mapping APIs for a while, we've had a SOAP API out for 3.5 years now. We do 20 million transactions a day on it. We're pretty proud of that fact. So we want to amplify that we're not, we're not just getting into the mapping game here. We've got folks that have been working on this team for 10 years on mapping. We've got a team of cartographers here. We've got a team of front-end map developers. It's been a long, long mapping history for us. Tom's been doing aerial since he launched Terra Server in
June of 1998.
In 98. So. We launched our first consumer mapping products in 95 or so. So it's a long time. We've got a lot of experience here, and this is just sort of the next generation of it.
All right, are you going to say there's more?
Oh, there is more. We've shown you the tip of the iceberg. So
okay.
As I'm exploring an area, here I am around the Space Needle. I want to learn more about it. And of course I'm saving the best for last.
All right.
So I might want to find some content. Let's zoom out a click or two here. Like I'm looking for a place to have dinner tonight. Maybe I'm looking for a steak place. So we've integrated local search from MSN Local. We can see that I get search results coming up. And
sorry.
We're just both fighting for the keyboard here. Here we go. So we've got steak places that came up, and I think this is a pretty unique feature. Check this out.
You'll notice as I'm panning around, my query is always being filtered by the geography.
Oh,
so
really?
I can find some stuff here. Here's Morton's of Chicago. And I'm going to add it to my scratch pad.
That's a really good place to have steak, by the way.
Over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little spendy.
Yeah.
Over at Morton's, but
take
a nice hunk of beef.
Take Bill with you. I heard he can afford a dinner
Bill's
too.
Wallet with
I got his American Express card. You want to go?
I hear his demo went pretty well this morning. Maybe he'll take the team out.
All right.
So anyway, we found Morton's. We threw it on this new little gizmo called the Scratch Pad. And this is, you'll see that on the Scratch Pad as I add things to it. Hey, say hi to Amit. A little camera shy.
Here goes camera the boss.
All right, you'll be the voice off to the side, I guess.
So the scratch pad is a little holding cell where I can save things that I'm interested in. So I threw Morton's on there. I still have my search open, and I may want to find things that are in this area. Like afterwards, maybe I want to grab an espresso at Starbucks. So Starbucks. We can layer in another search. Now you can see where the Starbucks have appeared. Steak is still available. You can see the blue is steak. We've got the Starbucks hanging out there. We'll check this guy out. It's close to our steak place. We're going to add that to our scratch pad.
Okay.
So now we've got a couple things going on there. Maybe we'll throw another one in. We're going to hope to find some parking nearby or an ATM or whatever else we need. Here's some parking lots. This one looks like it's in good close proximity. So I've got three things on my scratch pad. Remember what I told you a second ago, we're always filtering by geography. So now I want to jump out to, well, let's say Microsoft Campus. We'll just jump over to 98052, zoom in here, and you'll see that my queries are just going to continue to refresh. So the same queries that you saw earlier are now at Redmond Town Center. Are simply refreshing over here. And now once I've built my scratch pad, I keep throwing information over here. I can do things like email it to you. Maybe I want to throw it up on my MSN space.
Wait a second. Blog it?
Yeah, so that was the blog it button that I just hit right over here.
So I can make a geek like a bar crawl and
yeah, exactly. You can do things like, hey, I've just compiled my my top 20 bars and nightclubs for Seattle, and I want to share it with my friends. Boom, throw it up in my MSN space, and everybody can see the places that that I want to go hang out.
Now,
if you visit
my MSN space and you click on that, will it take you to the map?
Yeah, of course. Deep links back into the virtual earth.
You guys are cool.
Absolutely. And. All right.
You might get me to switch to MSN Spaces yet, you know?
they're waiting for you over there at Spaces. And, of course, all the cool features work in all modes, so I can, you know, I still got my game panning going on. And as I game pan around the screen, my searches are continually refreshing. So all of these guys, all my saved searches here, here's Starbucks, steak, et cetera. I can just keep bringing those searches back, throwing things onto my scratch pad, et cetera, et cetera.
Very cool. Can you draw a line between the three things so you know like directions, how to get from one place to the next?
Oh, sure. We're going to definitely do driving directions in here. You'll notice, I think we've got that enabled right now. So here we've got the drive to and drive from. We haven't fully implemented that, so I'm not going to click on it. But we've done driving directions that are in all of our engines for a long time, so we'll certainly be integrating it into this experience as well. So we've got really good driving directions engine and really good data that we feed into that engine. We license that data from the industry leaders like Navtech.
Right. Can I leave blog comments or photos for other people to see?
Oh, wouldn't that be a slick feature?
Yeah.
Not yet.
No comment. that was PM talk.
It would be a slick feature.
We've
got a good backlog of real nifty stuff that you'll see us implement pretty soon, but we're all focused on getting this first release out.
There's a few goodies that you haven't seen here yet that'll be in the first release that we're targeting for early July, and we're on a really rapid release cycle, so we're gonna. There's a lot of exciting features that are just kind of sitting on the back burner that we'll get out pretty quick.
This is very cool stuff. So what do you guys have to say?
Well, you're the ones who built this, right? I got one more very cool thing that we are going to show you. So no, you chat with these guys while I
put it up. So what do you guys do on what part did you play on this team?
Well, I run a website named Terra Server USA, and basically what's happened is it's rolled into being part of the whole virtual Earth. And you know, for the last 3 years, or last 7 years rather, I've been off gathering up public domain data that's freely available. So what you're looking at today is high-resolution imagery available from the USGS. And possibly in the next several months, we'll start seeing new imagery from other sources so that, in fact, as you pointed out, we can have more than just the United States and, you know, have a whole copy of the Earth at some point in the future.
Wow. And so you work with Jim Gray down in San Francisco?
I do. That's my official boss. And
how did we miss you that day when we were down there?
Well, I was hanging around being shy and around the corner from you. So, you know, it actually hurt my feelings. I didn't even bother to come in and say hello. But I won't bring that up now.
I'm sorry. What were the technical challenges with doing this kind of zooming and scrolling?
Well, you know, what really is going on is the virtual Earth folks with the mapping side have kind of adopted a more Terra Server-like style, which we've been tiling for years. There's another fellow that's not sitting with us today that actually came up with an improved design over what I started with Terra Server, such that we could do the entire globe without having any edge boundaries. And I'm getting it become into the technical details of how you take a round Earth and represent it on a flat monitor. And he's done a lot of really good work to be able to, where we can basically in virtual Earth pan from the coast to the west coast all the way to the east coast and never see an image break along the way. And it's a great piece of work. So,
wow.
You know, that's what we're doing now, is we're recasting, you know, the work I started with and into an improved model and integrating it with the vector data such that roads line up over imagery. You don't realize what a miracle that actually is and what a very hard problem it is. So that's the challenge that we're working on currently.
Excellent. What other kinds of things do I want to know about? How tough is it to design an app like this for the browser? I guess this is using technology that's been popularized as Ajax, right?
Yeah, right. It's a lot of the stuff that's hyped as Ajax. It does go into our UI. There's a lot of asynchronous stuff going on. You'll notice when I was doing the queries that I could query and pan independently. So while queries have been fired off to the server, you can have up to 5 of those open simultaneously. That's all really happening in the background as you're then rifling around with that game panning. All those queries are refreshing in near real time, but all kind of asynchronously in the background. Cody can tell you more about that stuff. That's his area of specialty. So, I don't know nothing about that Ajax.
So why not do this in a Win32 app? And
That would have been nice. But, I mean, the browser is really where it's at. It's much easier to distribute, get people to access it. Like, the best way to share an application is over the web, so through the browser.
Yeah. And so what kind of magic did you have to learn to do?
Well, JavaScript, taking JavaScript to a new level, definitely. With Ajax is just one part of it. The scrolling, the dynamic zoom, the animated zoom, like, obviously JavaScript is a scripted language, so performance is a big thing. Just a lot of, like, sitting there and tweaking on the performance, trying different things to make it operate as smoothly as a 32-bit or a Win32 app. So.
Yeah. Are you guys going to port this to Win32 at all, and put it in Avalon and give us even more cool?
Yeah, you know,
we could tell you, but we'd have to shoot you.
We've had consumer products that are Win32 apps for quite a while, like Streets and Trips and MapPoint 2004. And
now, do you guys do Streets and Trips too?
Yeah, sure. That comes out of our group.
Okay.
So you can imagine that. Yeah, it makes sense for a lot of this technology to merge with the richer client, you know, Win32 experience. So. Sure.
And Streets and Trips hooks up with a GPS, right?
Yeah. So yeah,
this doesn't know that there's a GPS on your machine, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So if you're walking around with your tablet PC, this Streets and Trips is probably a better way for you to go because it'll actually tell you where you're going or where you are and
right.
All that fun stuff.
Right.
Playing with that It's $120 at Walmart.
Right? Yeah, it is a bargain for Streets and Trips GPS bundle.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
$120, you paid too much. I think
well,
you
no, at the company
100.
Store you could get it less, but
yeah.
I think it,
no, even at retail, I think it's down under $100.
Is it really?
Okay. It's a bargain.
All right. Anything else that you guys want to show?
Oh, yeah, we got the last cool thing here. Okay. It's what we call our eagle eye view.
All right.
And Harish wants to tell you about the mid-tier stuff that he's
all the stuff that you can't see there, like all the search integration and the content integration, and I've been doing all the project management stuff, so a lot of unseen stuff there.
Give me an example of something that you worked on that maybe we wouldn't know about when we were using the product.
The search you were seeing there, like it actually integrates with MSN local search, so I was building the, platform to talk to them and like get the results from them and like give it to Cody so that he can send it out to the client. And then we have a backend database that has all the YP content, the Yellow Pages content that you can't see right now, but we have a details page that, once we have the details page, we can see much more like, enhanced YP information, like, extended hours and things like that. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat content stuff that we're not showing yet, but when we go live, you'll see it. So there's a...
What's the first three things that people should try when they do get virtual air?
I think they'll just like funning around with the maps.
Put in their home address.
Yeah, you start with your home address, you go over to that aerial labeled view, and what I find myself doing is just exploring new places. So I remember the first time that Cody got that up in the UI, he sent me a link, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then it's like 30 minutes later, I was just still in there playing. And it's just fun to explore. And then, sure, you start bringing in the content on top of it, and you really start to get a feel for what an area is like. And then lastly, we've got our eagle eye view. So I got to show you that.
All right.
Now, this is what we're going to do, show you a prototype of it, because we're still working on this. This probably won't be in the first release.
Okay.
But Bill did show it today at the D conference, so we can show you at least what he showed publicly. It's pretty slick. I think this is really the future of exploring the real world from your desktop. So this is an artist's representation of what the UI might look like. So you can see this little lens over here. This would glow on your screen when we've got this level of aerial imagery available. Now, boink.
And what did you just do there?
I just clicked on that lens that was out here. Okay. And what it did is it opened up this lens that I can drag around on the screen. And of course, this is just a designer's early look at what the user interface might look like. Okay. But what he's really done is opened up a lens into the real world. So he's gone from the vector map. He's showing you, and you'll notice that that's not your standard. That's not your grandpa's satellite image there.
No.
That is a really low elevation flyover at 45 degrees. Now I'm going to switch to one more shot of that. So this is the raw image. We're working with a company called Pictometry that actually flies these planes. You can picture a plane flying. Watch how tight I'm going to zoom in here, Scoble. This is amazing.
This is right around the corner from my office.
Oh, yeah.
So this is taken from a plane.
I can see all sorts of uses for this.
Right. Now imagine with that built right into our interface so that you saw me switch from vector map to aerial map. Now picture switching into this new style, and I can cruise through here. Imagine you're planning a trip to...
Now, what are the privacy implications? You could probably see some a...
Sure.
Well, you're sunbathing in the backyard.
not quite.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
as Bill said this morning when he showed this stuff, sure, he was asked that question. We think a lot about privacy in the MapPoint group. With our MapPoint location server product for real-time location, we've put a lot of thought into privacy. Same issues here. As Bill said this morning, we've been doing this stuff for 10 years now, and we look at it as, we really don't want to infringe on anyone's privacy. You'll notice that the zooms can't get down close enough to show like the license plate on a car or a person's face, etc. They're certainly not real-time images, so it's not like,
we command a fleet of satellites that can just zoom in on an area in real time to show view. No, it's the imagery is all cleansed.
Okay.
There's a joke in the imagery business, if you hang around with spies that do this for a living, you know, where, you know, from a satellite, for example, the best resolution that you can possibly do is a half meter per pixel, and that's measuring what it is on the side. And the joke is, you know, you can, you know, 1 foot resolution, which is things we have, the satellite did 1 foot resolution, you know, is you can't see individuals very easily. You can see them if they cast a shadow. And it's not really until you get to about 3 inch or 4 inch that it goes from being, you know, satellite or aerial imagery to porn. Right, which is what I think you're getting at. You know, so that's where we as an industry to do imagery have to worry, is right around that resolution.
Yeah, and we're probably, what, 5 years away from that?
No, you can buy it today.
Okay.
You know, but the question is would it be a good public thing to do if you weren't eyeballing it all before you put it online?
Got it. So you guys are actually having somebody look at all the images to make sure that nothing is untoward there that you'll get embarrassed about.
Yeah, definitely to the best of our ability to do so. But we do know as a fact that the zooms won't get close enough to actually see, like, the license plate on the car.
Yeah, this is on a big plasma screen, so.
Yeah.
Now, how are these images
going to... Notice what you can see. You can see the windshields on there, right?
Yeah.
And you can see the shadows that are formed by people, but you can't see any people. And actually, you can just see one there on the floor of the image. And this is a very popular area in San Francisco. So there's a lot of individuals around. So people have to be standing in a certain way to actually for it to show up, you know, easily in the image. It's not that they're not there, but again, it's what you're able to capture.
Yeah, I'm going to pop another image up there for you.
All right.
Not that one. I wanted to give you this one. Yeah, there we go. So this is kind of neat. But, you know, practical purposes for this are when you're exploring an area, you're planning a vacation, you're looking at that hotel that's billing itself as being seaside. With this eagle eye imagery, you'll actually be able to explore ahead of time and choose your hotel. You know, is it really right on the Vegas Strip? Is it right on the beach in Miami, et cetera?
Right. How are these stitched together? Because obviously, you know, if you're shooting a city, for instance, you're probably not all shooting at all at the same direction, right? They're probably one is being shot this way and one is being shot this way.
That's right. Well, imagine if you were walking down the street, right, and taking many pictures of the objects you were interested in. You know, so you would take a photo and then, you know, move on and either turn or walk down the street and deliberately try to have a little bit of overlap. And basically, that's what's going on here, is that the plane's flying along at a certain altitude and speed, and it's repetitively taking shots and acquiring a certain amount of overlap between shots. And not unlike if you were to take, you know, a panorama set of pictures of, you know, a wedding or other large occasion. You know, there are going to be cases when you try to stitch it together, you might miss some detail. And we're going to have that same issue where, you know, there is going to be a time where what you want to look at is not in either the right image or the left image or top or bottom, and we're going to miss that case on that type of a thing. However, we feel that there's going to be so many more times that we do catch everything the user's interested in that we, you know, can't be worried about, you know, hitting the 1% or 2% issue. And not to mention, this is going to be a pretty new thing from a commercial or from a consumer standpoint. So we're really going to be interested to see how people react to this. You know, 7 years ago when I first put up TerraServer, I was the first one to put it up looking straight down. And, you know, it took a long time before people really got into it. Now it's become a normal thing. It's even on Google, right?
Yeah.
And so this is going to be the next thing over the next 5 to 7 years that we'll see. You know, we're going to be the first to put it up and get people into it. And, you know, we can't wait to see how people are going to use it and read the blogs and the mail. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll, you know, have ideas come across the bow about how we can improve upon it and enrich it or do something different with pictometry in terms of fly more closer together and snap pictures and things of that nature.
Very cool. Last night I was at the Seattle airport and I saw a guy sitting in the airport with a tablet PC looking at a map, but it was a weird map that didn't look like anything I'd seen. And it was a map done for the aviation industry, and he was plotting out his flight path. Yeah. And it showed glide paths and altitude, and it hooked
There's a guy that has pestered me over the years on Terra Server that keeps wanting me to put up those flight path maps on Terra Server to do that. So, you know, that's the other thing that, you know, the mapping domain, if you will, in terms of what people are interested in doing is extremely broad. And that's what, you know, what we're been doing for actually years. What Google's also doing is really trying to broaden that base and go into many different vertical applications. And so in the future, that might very well be a vector data set that we add to Virtual Earth and to, you know, to that interest group.
All right, now the hard question. How are you guys going to make money at this stuff?
Oh, it's free product. No, actually,
obviously, Bill wants to make some money, right?
Yeah, it'll be free. The product is free for users to use. There is a local ad based model, which is really pretty neat. It basically says, hey, when you're in the virtual earth and you're searching for sporting goods, you're going to get Yellow Page listings. And it really makes sense that that's a really good time for a local sporting goods store to be able to get their ad online. So unlike a lot of web properties where you're just, you know, blanketed with the generic ads, you know, buy a Visa card, and consumers are really good at devaluing that stuff, and mentally we just kind of push it aside. When I'm doing a search for sporting goods, it's a really good time to get an ad or a promotion from a local sporting goods company.
So if a company like Krispy Kreme or In-N-Out paid you to put icons, would you, on top of the map, would you guys do that, or is this...
I'm not sure exactly. I think we're working out how the ads will be presented in the user interface, but we want them to be, you know, a valuable part of the mapping experience. We don't want people to look at the site and think, oh, well, it's just full of ads. You won't see that at the virtual earth. It'll be highly valuable, highly targeted ads.
Right. And anything else you guys...
I think we should close by finding your house.
Oh. Well,
or an address of your choice.
Maybe one Microsoft doing something in the backyard. That,
hey, man, no comment.
So
I'm too.
You're gonna
too visible. I don't want.
Yeah,
people
you don't want people
over.
Like stalking.
And so. And I write on my blog when I'm not home too. So cause problems.
But thanks so much for that demo, hey?
Hey, let's do your house. Let's do Bill's house. Everybody knows where Bill's house
is. Right.
They do it, you know, a tour along the waterfront. Maybe like one Microsoft Way or something like that.
Well, we'll just find campus then.
Yeah, you can see where we are.
Yeah, why don't we show where we are right now, where we're doing this video from.
Washington. There we go. So, there's... one Microsoft Way, but we're actually over here in this building, so let's zoom in over here. Let's see how close we can get. There we go. We are sitting right about here. Here we are. We're sitting right about
here. Like a mapping guy to get lost.
Hey, I was only off by a building.
Actually, I went to the other building.
Nope. They all look alike from the sky.
They all look alike from the ground, too.
Nicely symmetric.
Is it a feature or is it a bug?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. This is great stuff.
Yeah, thanks for stopping in.
We'll try to get this video
up. We'll definitely have some stuff up on Channel 9 as we get closer to launch. We're getting pretty close. We're probably about 4 or 5 weeks away, so definitely stay tuned, and you'll hear about it first on Channel 9.
So about a month away, so end of July?
That would be two months. So towards the beginning of July, beginning to mid is what we're targeting. So
Independence Day, all right.
Yeah, pretty close.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, certainly.